Not live, but kind of live, because we're live streaming on Facebook. It's the Bob Dean Show. Yay! Coming to you from the fabulous Sunset Strip in Hollywood, California. This is episode 75.
Yay! Anniversary.
I'm very proud of that. Very, very proud of that, episode 75. We have lots and lots of subscribers. Please make sure that you follow us on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on iHeartRadio podcasts. You can watch on YouTube and follow me at BobTheSurlyComic.com. Instagram is BobDean2971 because it's wrong on my business card. I got to order some more. I want to welcome some great guests today. Before I get started, I want to say that speaking only for myself, Bob Dean, I do not by any means support Wells Fargo Home Mortgage because they are crooks. Nor do I support the billing department at Tower Urology because they are equally as crooked, and I will begin to speak to you later tomorrow, billing department lady. That being said, I do not speak for any of my guests here. Joan Schoberg.
Schoberl.
I always pronounce it wrong, even though we've been friends for 10 years.
Yes.
Dr. Doran Vardy.
Yes.
Correct.
Hello.
And Pat Kellogg.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
And there's another guy over here in the corner. You're not going to be on camera. So anyway, good to see you, bud. These three are my friends from, who are very, very, well, of course, this is our veterinarian, and Pat is recently retired from her position with the Los Angeles, the PICO Los Angeles Animal Services Shelter. And then Joan is my friend who is more active in fostering animals than anybody I've ever known, because everybody knows that I do fostering for about 10 years now, 11 years.
You've helped out a lot, and you've taken some emergency cases, especially the one covered in some kind of cooking oil.
I know, that was pretty gross.
Yeah.
We'll get on to that. But yeah, but Joan is always like Wolfgang's, where I worked as a bartender for many years, which is just, we're in transition, so hopefully we'll be opening up somewhere else. But there'll be 1,000 people at the bar on a Friday night, and my end was down by the window, and here she'd be with a bag of puppies or kittens going like,
"Come yeah,
take when, this I home. Would, and I'm yeah. like, no, no, no more. Don't do that.
No, but, you know, the nice cocktail kind of helps ease the stress of fostering.
Well, I know, because you've always got something in that bag of yours. What do you have at home right now?
I have a Pomeranian with a broken leg that will need a home shortly, that came from West LA. And I have a couple of kittens and my own two Pomeranians, which Dr. Vardy is their wonderful vet.
Yes, and he is also my veteran. And speaking of kittens, guess what, y'all?
Yeah, and Dr. Vardy spays and neuters all the kittens, the fosters.
Oh, we also want to say hello to Zach Herndon and Sammy Junio. And Dennis Olson is on the other side of the door over there. He's pissed at me because I guess I yelled at him. Anyway, sorry about that, pal. But look who's in here.
Look what Dennis and Bob did. These kittens were feral.
Now, these guys will be up for adoption. Go ahead, Joan.
They were feral. They needed socialization. They were eating on their own, so it was an easy foster. And since Bob isn't working, he had plenty of time to socialize them.
Well, Bob and Dennis, and we've been really, they've been, you want to take one out? Can you reach
in? Sure.
This is Manny and Mo, and they will be available for adoption in a couple of weeks because they're going in on Thursday.
They're a little shy right
to be
now.
Neutered is what the boys get,
new.
Right?
Neutered.
Correct.
Hello.
And they are absolutely sweet and wonderful.
They're just a little nervous. They're
a little nervous. Yeah.
Their agent said they are not supposed to be on camera.
Yeah, I know. Don't be shy. Just say hi because you're not going to be out here the whole time.
You're going to see Dr. Vardy soon.
Yes,
yeah. I don't think they're excited for that.
Oh, they will be. You'll take good care of them.
So everybody out there in Bob Dean Show land, please,
yay.
Make sure you know that. And it would be just wonderful if they could be kept together.
They do great as a bonded pair. It's a lot easier to have two. I can't tell you how many adopters come back after getting one, and a year later they want another one, and now you're trying to integrate another cat with another cat, and it can be really tricky, and it can be very unsuccessful. Having two that are bonded already is so much easier. They keep each other company. They really do.
Oh, these two are just ridiculously fun.
It makes life so much easier when you have two.
Well, we would love to have them run around the studio with us, but Sammy's allergic, so we're going to put him back in there. And they're very happy in here.
So come on back
and
in.
And doctor, are they big enough to be neutered?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. For us, they have to be at least 2 pounds in weight, mm-hmm. or greater than 5 weeks of age.
Well, they are certainly that. And they, boy, they have great appetites, too.
That's very good to hear.
I can tell.
Yeah. You want to jump back in here, honey?
I don't know. I'm cuddling.
Well, he's cuddling, but we don't want to just make sure Sammy doesn't start sneezing. Yay. They're very content in there, too.
Yeah, they do really well when they're hand raised. You get a really unique animal.
Well, Kathy, who is not with us today, she's ill, but she has her little Maybelline, who's visiting her aunt in Maybelline. I don't know what kind of dog she is, but she's little and she's adorable and she's got lots of fur. Do you know what kind of dog she is?
Little.
Something, but Maybelline's cool as hell. She met her Christmas Eve, Maybelline. Well, maybe you were gone by then. Anyway, Maybelline's
Oh, did she have her in that like suitcase stroller thing?
Yeah, she's all in Beverly Hills. Yeah. Well, she's cool as hell, but Maybelline's visiting her aunt in Connecticut. But anyway, that's either her or her. All right, you two. So what's going on, Doctor? Tell us about you. You are you handle my cats, especially Loki.
Yes, and Tilly, right?
And Tilly, they're both doing great. Tilly, I don't know what's going on with her. Did I tell you about her? She's so weird. She's a wonderful cat, and she chases her tail. Every cat that I have has come from some kind of bad background, but they're all wonderful, and that's why. Don't tell the landlord out there in Bob Dean land. Yeah, but I have five. We have five, and they're adults, but they all get along like they're from the same litter, and the house doesn't smell. And they cuddle, they groom each other, they play, they follow each other, and they are indoor-outdoor cats. That's the way that they came to me. Unfortunately, the apartment, there's no alley in the back, and it's mostly a secured area, and they really don't wander. You know, they stay pretty much there. And they generally come home, you know, well, they keep the during the day, when they keep the both doors open so they can come in and out. And then in the evening when it's time to, you know, corral them, I close the security screen door. And then they know it's time to come, and usually they're all just sitting there waiting. But Tilly, especially, I don't know if it's because she's aging. I think maybe her hearing is getting a little testy. But she's done this to Dennis and myself to where she'll be asleep, and you just reach down like gently to stroke her, and she snaps, and she got me really good on the thumb.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
In a specific area of the body?
Nope. She just the first thing that she grabs it, she holds on, and she bites.
Huh.
But that was like she did it to him once and to me once, and that's been 3 or 4 months ago, but she hasn't done it since. And it's just the strangest thing. And like when she gets stressed, she'll chase her tail, and she sounds like a friggin' banshee spinning around. But she hasn't done that in months either. And sometimes she's just the sweetest thing. She's never been an aggressive animal, ever, you know?
Well, I thought she hid under your bed for the first year.
Well, no, when I first got her, you know, she came from, it was a really sad situation. A little girl had found her under a dumpster somewhere in the valley. And she was just a teeny tiny baby, and the little girl bottle fed her. And I actually found the letter that the little girl wrote to me. The family, I guess the father lost his job, they had to give her up. And she came through a private agency that my friend Julie Bass Weissen, hey, Julie. Who is an English nanny in Beverly Hills, but lives in the valley, she and her husband, and they've got like 17 cats. They have a big house. And she works with an agency there, and she got Tilly for me, but it was a deal where, where were we going with that? Where Tilly what?
I thought she was under your bed for the
first time. When I first got her, she hid in the closet.
Oh.
She climbed up on the top shelf of the closet and wouldn't come down. And so I had to take, and it was for not a year, but like 3 months. I had to take everything out of the left side of the closet.
I
had to put a litter box up in the closet.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's an adorable little cat. And then now she's just wonderful. She's wonderful.
Oh, when Bob had his Christmas Eve party.
The happy birthday baby Jesus cocktail soiree.
Yeah, it was a little, I guess a little raucous. But Tilly was in the middle of it, just rolling around on the floor, having the time of her life.
Yeah, she's a ball. And then Loki, who Dr. Vardy sees, he's got some sort of skin condition that comes
flea allergy.
Yeah.
It's a very common condition in cats and dogs for that matter.
Well, you know, I was telling you that the revolution, but there's that whole new strain of fleas. There are these little teeny,
can we
tiny
talk
ones.
About fleas for a minute?
Oh,
Doctor, I think I presented this problem with my dogs, and I spoke to Pat about it as well. There's a strain of fleas called cat fleas, and they've become they just take over your house. The animals are suffering, and we just can't seem to find anything that
That works.
That works. Yeah, I don't know if you can name brands.
Now listen up, folks.
Well, the cat flea is actually the most common flea that we see on dogs and cats. In California, we have fleas year-round, even though they do flourish in the warmer months. They are present year-round. And I think one of the reasons why people are dealing with fleas and they're not able to get rid of the problem is because they're not doing the right things. There's something I like to call the holy trinity of flea treatment. Okay, and that means treating the house, treating all the pets in the house, and using a good product. If you're doing all those three things, you're going to get rid of your flea problem. Now, in terms of good products, you need to go see your veterinarian for those. Unfortunately, they're all prescription. The things you get over the counter, a lot of times, they're not very effective, especially here in California with the resistant fleas that we have. In terms of the specific product, you said Revolution, and I do think that I'm starting to see some resistance to Revolution.
Yeah.
And
I've been noticing that over the years.
Yeah, and so in that case, you know, what I think might be helpful is to change to something like Bravecto. There's Bravecto for cats now, which is a different product. It lasts for 3 months, also topical, and it's very effective. And there's also Revolution Plus, which is a new form of Revolution that just came out and has an additional component to it, which is an isoxazoline molecule, and that's very effective, and that improves the effectiveness against fleas. The nice thing about Revolution is that it also deworms the pet, so it protects you against intestinal parasites, and that's one of the things that a lot of people don't think about when they have dogs and cats is the intestinal parasites that they carry. They are contagious to humans, and if you're exposed to these eggs in your home, you're gonna suffer ill effects. So I do think Revolution is a great way to go, but maybe Revolution Plus is going to be.
Now, what's the ingredient in the Revolution Plus that makes it more effective? Is it a growth inhibitor?
I was going to ask that question, Joan. Thank you.
You're welcome. I love science.
It's the isoxazoline molecule, which has been added to the selumectin, which is the other molecule in it. And that's that really is kind of the new family of molecules that work really well against fleas. We're seeing, you know, if you look at the dog ones, Bravecto, NexGard, these are all the same kind of molecule that the manufacturers of Revolution have now introduced into their product.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Because I'll be having that problem soon, I'm sure.
Now, as Pat was saying too, was telling me, and Joan mentioned, that diatomaceous earth.
Yes.
Tell us about that, Pat.
I sprinkle it on the carpets, mm-hmm. and you can sprinkle it on the pets also, and it's not. You have to do food grade though.
Food grade diatomaceous earth,
yes.
Right? And that stuff goes, which I did. I got a big old 10-pound bag of it, and it goes. And it's funny too, because when I kept thinking, why do I know that? Why do I know that? And as a child, I remember now my mother going, I got to go out and feed the pool. Because you put diatomaceous earth into the pool as well.
Oh, okay. Oh,
and then my mother would make a big joke. She'd say to her friend, I got to go feed the pool that earth, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I got a big old bag and put it all on the carpet and put it in with the broom.
Right.
And moved the furniture and did all that. And I hated every minute of it. And my apartment's only this big. But it seemed to help. Because years ago in Miami, when my first cat, Felix the cat, of course, was this big black cat that I found in an alley, and that's how I got into cats, because I love dogs, and I wish I could have dogs as well. But I had an infestation in this apartment that I had, and this is way before. This is in, like, 93, 94. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember there being any products like Revolution or anything like that at that point.
You had the old school flea caller.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Which didn't work. And I, one day, and he was an indoor cat. I mean, I found him outside, and he was clean and neutered, and I tried to find the owner and all that, but he stayed inside. I lived on the third floor of the Fenimore, which was a glorious building. And one day, all of a sudden, I'd come out and wearing, like, white sweat socks, and they would be covered. It was the nastiest thing, covered in these big black fleas. And it was kind of cool, though, because I'd just sit there with a Bic lighter and light the side of the sock, and it would just go, and they'd all pop. But you just couldn't get rid of them.
Yeah, and that's a very good point there, that a lot of people think that if their pet's indoor only, they're not going to have a flea problem, and that's incorrect.
Right, because they're going to go out, and you're going to bring them in.
That's mm-hmm. exactly correct. That's the FBI.
See, I never realized that. And the thing about it is, too, is that what in the years, of, and I never had them in Nashville, and in here, I'm going into my 15th year in Los Angeles, is what I did was I always waited until I would see them, because I've never had, I mean, like even up until now, I think maybe twice I've had to where I've, one has hopped onto me or onto my leg or something like that. I've never really myself been like, you know, or had any like infestation on that I've noticed on the furniture or whatever. But when I know the animals like the back of my hand, I see them scratching a certain way or, you know, biting their tail a certain way. And then I examine them really close because they're brushed and all that sort of thing. And if I see flea, that's when I'll treat them. And it seems like within, you know, 12 to 24 hours, they're all fine again. Mm-hmm. And I just like along the same lines as an antibiotic, I didn't want them to become
immune.
So,
yeah.
But just like that, what's the damn thing I put on them now that you recommend not?
Revolution Plus?
No. Revecto. What's the stuff that I get prescription.
Revolution.
Is that Revolution? What's the one that was buying over the counter that I put on and I was all worried?
Frontline.
That's it. The Revolution works great. Yeah. It's the Frontline that I used to buy and I used for years that worked. And then the last time I put it on because what you recommended the Revolution when I took Loki in and I just forgot about it. And I went like that because it was a Sunday, and I put Frontline on him, and the Frontline didn't do anything.
Right.
Yeah, nothing. So, and it used to be a workable product.
It used to be, yeah, but it's not very effective now, like you said. And you know, one thing that you mentioned is, you know, you're treating your pets at specific times of the year. I definitely recommend treating them year-round. Mm-hmm. I understand your concerns about potential internal effects of the medication, but the truth is we have a lot of studies about Revolution and about NexGard and Brevectin and all these products and long-term effects on pets, and you know, don't believe what you read online, because a lot of people, you know, without a lot of experience in the medical field, you know, will put in their input, and sometimes there's no real basis for their claims. I don't know if you look into it, you know, you read online, you'll see people claim that products like NexGard or Revolution cause their pet to die. Mm-hmm. And the truth is there's nothing behind these claims. You know, maybe they gave their pet one of these products and then a few days later the pet suffered, you know, something and the pet ended up dying. But was there a correlation between those two things? You know, that's the big question. And as far as we know, when these products have been tested at super high doses, when they test them at much higher doses than what we're actually giving them. And for long periods of time, we know that they're very safe. And so when I take that into account, and I take into account also the fact that the parasites that they get are contagious to humans, okay, if you recall, Revolution does deworm your dog, treats roundworms and hookworms.
Mm-hmm.
So ingestion,
which are contagious to humans, you say?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
They're zoonotic. You would say
that's exactly correct. Yes.
And doesn't Revolution also, or some of the products also treat if they have like ear mites or other?
Yes. Yes, Revolution
external
also kills some
parasites besides
mites.
The fleas. Yes.
Exactly. Yes, it is. It is approved for certain mites as well. So, you know, it's a great product. I would recommend using it on cats, all cats really, and I think now is probably the time to start considering transitioning to Revolution Plus.
Doctor, I have a question. You know, when people see a live flea on their animal or it jumps on them or something, how many eggs and larvae are in the environment waiting to become an adult?
That's thousands.
I think you know, you kind of like your ship has sailed once you see a live one.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I mean, I think for every flea that you see on a pet, you have at least 300 in the environment.
Waiting.
Yeah. So there's, you know, if you're seeing fleas on the pet, you're probably, there's probably dozens of fleas on your
pet. I agree with year-round treatment.
And yes, and year-round treatment, I think, is the way to go. And then treating the house also periodically.
Yes. And the animals are so much happier and healthier, too. They're not spending their whole day scratching and feeling uncomfortable. And
right.
And then you start itching, watching them, and it's just like, chaos.
You nasty fleas, go home.
Go away.
And I have a suggestion, too, also, that when you vacuum your carpet and you're picking up the fleas and the flea eggs or whatever, and then, you know, you don't automatically go and empty your vacuum
cleaner bag or cup.
Well, you should either put a flea collar in there or put some, you know, flea powder in there to kill
diatomaceous
the fleas. Kill the fleas that are in the bag. Or they're going to hop out, you know.
Well, when I was growing up, we always had dogs. I've had everything from poodles to Dobermans. And when I was a kid, I remember my father, he said, you take a little bit of, he would, show my brother and I take just a little bit of like cooking oil on a Q-tip and rub it on the dog's nose and just a little bit around the ear before you bathe them. And that would keep the fleas from running in the ear and the nose. Because I remember it specifically because my dad loved poodles, but he hated them. He never would hated them. Like he liked miniatures and toys, but they were never treated. You know, he let them grow like sheep. And then he'd just shave them in the springtime, you know. And I remember
what state was this, Bob?
In Pennsylvania and then into Nashville, Tennessee, yes. When we moved to Tennessee. But the point being is that I remember once one of them, my brother and I discovered he was infested with fleas, and we gave him a bath. And, you know, 10 minutes, we dried him, and 10 minutes later there were still fleas on him. And then my father showed us what to do, and we gave him another bath. And boom, there was all the fleas just came right off after we treated him like that. And, you know, it's like it's kind of an old wives' tale kind of thing, but it
country,
sure worked.
Country boy.
But my father wasn't a country boy. He was a very intelligent world traveler.
Oh, okay.
He just knew how to do something.
Okay.
Just because, we were damn Yankees because we moved from Philadelphia to Tennessee. And we drove our BMWs barefoot to the country club, Joan.
with a cocktail in the cup holder.
That's right, and a cocktail in the cup holder. A martini is gin, folks, by the way. It's
not
vodka.
No seatbelt.
Okay? So, Pat, are you enjoying retirement?
I am.
Do you miss the shelter?
No. No, I don't miss the shelter because I'm there, you know, during the semester.
Well, yeah, you host a class there, right?
I teach a class for LAUSD. It's an animal caretaking class. It's for 11th and 12th graders.
That's awesome.
And it's 2 semesters a year.
And do you do that on Monday afternoon?
I do it on Saturdays for 6 hours, and then I have a Monday, Wednesday class, 3 hours each.
And that's in the community room on the same premises, so you get to hear the dogs barking.
Yeah, so I'm at the West LA shelter, except for during the summer, spring break, Christmas break.
I would love to volunteer my time there. I mean, I love fostering. I really do. But I would love to volunteer my time there, but I just can't. I can't. I mean, just when I pull up and all those – and I just – credit all the people that can, but you know,
it's a hard job.
Yeah, I love telling the story about the Chihuahua. This is 7 or 8 years ago.
This is how I met you.
Chased the Chihuahua.
Wow. This is how I met you.
How did we meet? I thought it was
no, because what? I was sitting out front with my fosters trying to get him home
with the Chihuahua.
No, my foster kittens, and they were in the cage, and I'm sitting out front with the cage on the table. Because you get attached and you don't want to just let any random person take them.
Oh, that's right. And we just struck up a conversation.
You came and you were like just pouring in sweat because you've been chasing a Chihuahua in your neighborhood for 3 hours.
That's exactly right. And I caught him with boiled eggs from the Vons that they tore down. And this bit, I've been chasing this Chihuahua.
That was the best little Vons.
And it was. And I had, it was the only prepared food I had. And I chased this Chihuahua. That another lady and I, it was summertime and it was hot. We chased this Chihuahua, finally cornered him. I was driving the big Buick and I put the Chihuahua in the back and he ran to the back. And of course you fall in love with him just like that. And I already had 2 cats, but I'm like, this Chihuahua's coming. I took him immediately to the shelter, but I already filled out the paperwork that I would have, what is it called, an eminent domain or
First
rights, yeah. Eminent domain is when they tear down your house because they're government motherfucker. Anyway, I wanted to go. That's when I saw you.
And I
met you
because
you were out from the kids. Yeah,
because
it was, but I came back a couple days later because I wanted to visit the Chihuahua.
I reassured Bob that the dog would be fine, and legally, when you find an animal, you legally have to bring it.
The part of the story, though, is that I went back to visit the Chihuahua, and that's how I thought about that is because I walked into the back, and the dog, I like took one glance, and I literally put my hands up like this. Because I couldn't look at the dogs. And there's this well-dressed lady standing like, you walk straight back and then it goes like this. And she's standing there and I, for whatever reason, I beeline straight up to her like this. And I go, oh my gosh, this is so sad. And she's like, I know, but they found my dog. And I go, oh my God, that's great. What kind of dog? And she goes, a Chihuahua. And I go, was it a white Chihuahua with a flea collar? And she goes, yeah. And I go, I found it. And we were holding hands going, yay, jumping up and down. And it was great. And she's like, we've had that dog. She says, my husband, I have no idea how he got out of the yard. But it was just... It was very touching.
But then that's when I got to meet Bob when he was bringing the dog in.
Yeah,
and I
forgot about
reassured him
that.
The dog would be fine. blah, blah, blah. And we started chatting, and I found out he worked three doors down from me as a bartender.
Yeah, not only are you one of the hottest stylists in Beverly Hills, but you're always carrying on a bag full of chihuahuas or something. And then, of course, Walter and Joan were the first ones that helped me get that my Happy Birthday Baby Jesus cocktail soiree the last 2 years in a row.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie. I have a couple of martinis while I'm setting up, and Dennis is on the other side of the door, but you know he is 99% in there with me too, but...
Yeah,
like, Walter, can you help me move this bookcase from one side? I smoke when I drink, and I make no apologies for it. And yes, I smoke inside.
I think that was the best part of the party was getting ready for
it. It's a great party, though.
We had a lot of fun helping you.
It's a great party. The neighbors.
And Bob, tell us about that wood paneled station wagon you have and what you do with it.
All the listeners of the Bob Dean Show, know about the Road to the Roadmaster, and she was stuffed this year. She was overstuffed.
Santa's
I was very
sleigh.
Proud of everybody, yeah. Because that's what the deal is all the guests bring something for the shelter. Sure. And, she was overstuffed. So tell us, what's your deal? Where are you from? Are you married?
I'm not married. I'm engaged.
Congratulations. And your fiancé is her name?
Her name is Jessie.
Hi, Jessie.
Where
are you from? Where's your home?
I'm originally from Israel. I was born in the States, though. Grew up in Kenya. I lived in Kenya for 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And then my family moved back to Israel. I was in Israel for my high school, and I did the military service there for 4 years. I then traveled for a year backpacking in Australia and New Zealand. Mm. Got back to Israel, and then I decided ultimately that I was going to pursue my dream of veterinary medicine.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. What a fascinating past. What are you, like 25? Seriously. That's awesome.
I'm 38. But
38.
Wow.
Well, that's great.
You could shave a few off and nobody would question it.
Well, no. What a wonderful past. World traveler and veterinary medicine. That's what. Is your wife a veterinary? Is she in medicine
Jessie?
As well?
Yeah, she's a human nurse.
Oh,
yeah, she's
good.
She's a palliative care. Yeah, she's amazing.
Do you know any other veterinarians in town? Because if you don't have a buddy, I'd really like for you to meet J.D. Carlson. He and his brother have the J.D., please forgive me.
Carlson?
Yeah, Carlson. Yeah. I always say Carlson. J.D., what is it?
Isn't it Carlson Medical Hospital?
No,
it's...
Oh, my God. I'm so mortified. Christ almighty. I'm getting old, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody say something.
Well, you know what? Since you're having
Since
you're having a lapse in judgment
what
right now, why
it?
Don't you foster this dog I have with a broken leg?
No.
It stays in a crate.
No. Thank you.
All right.
It's a Pomeranian.
It's a Pomeranian.
He's a veterinarian. He and his brother, and it's been a family of clinic, and it's on Fairfax, and it's been there for 50 years.
Not Laurel.
That's it. The Laurel Pet Hospital.
And thank you know who uses
JD
that?
JD and his lovely wife, Ashlyn,
yes.
are very, very
and
good
know
friends of mine.
And you know who uses that yeah. hospital. They do a great job.
Thank you, John. I was going to kill myself. I couldn't remember. I'm sorry, Jenny.
Helping a rescue called Kit Crusaders that your good friend Nelia has.
That's Kit
that
that's
you,
where I've
that's
gotten.
That's where they help them out. They give them a great.
Isn't that where I got Loki and Thor from Kit Crusaders?
Yes, from Nelia.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nelia and Mary and Kit Crusaders, great rescue. They do great work, and that hospital helps them out tremendously.
Well, JD is great. He's a great guy. And so if you haven't met him, we'll have to get together for happy hour sometime.
Yeah,
he and his lovely wife, Ashlyn, and I met him through his wife, Ashlyn, and she's a doll, and we're all good.
Well, when we get
separation
you...
in this giant town is pretty
yeah,
cool.
Let's get you on the working side of the bar, and then we'll all come and celebrate.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cocktails for free.
Well, yeah.
Nobody's going to hire after that. Pat, I got to tell you, at my birthday dance-a-thon, you kicked ass on the dance floor.
Oh,
about.
My gosh, that was so fun.
Thank
wasn't
God.
It fun?
It was a lot of fun.
I'm glad you kept your pants
Walter.
Up this time.
Walter's a dancer, too.
Yeah.
We
had a great time.
Yeah.
You got to come to
Walter's
next year.
Walter's off camera.
God willing, I'm alive.
Yeah, but he's a great dancer.
I did keep my pants up this year, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Thank gosh, doctor.
Is that a thing?
Well, we start, like I said, we start off at 1 o'clock. And have you ever been to the Abbey before?
Well, I think you start
it's
1 o'clock
50, you know,
the
it's gay, straight, 50-50. But
it's
fun. Everybody
it's just
goes there.
Fun.
And it's just
sure.
a fun spot. It's an
indoor-outdoor
restaurant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's got a great dance floor. And the reason we go at 1 o'clock is because, you know, I'm old now. Yep. And at night, it's just too damn crowded with all these beautiful people, toy, you know, and they think that, and I mean, believe me, when I was young and good looking, I've been a bartender for 36 years, and I lived on Miami Beach, and I did all that all night stuff for years and years and years, and you look at pictures hanging on my living room wall, and people are like, is that you? And I'm like, uh-huh, look at me now. The point being is that it's fun. It's a great, we do it like, you know, a couple times a year, but we just blow it out, and everybody has a ball.
Bob, what's that? Carol and Hector. They always have a blast.
And they have a kick-ass Cinco de Mayo party at their fabulous home in Fairfax,
and,
too.
And, yeah, you've got a great eclectic bunch of
friends. I know.
I was,
that's what I was telling the doctor in bed. I said, I'm such a jerk, but I've got such wonderful friends of all ages and everything. But the point being is that at about 3 o'clock, a guy and a girl go-go dancer come on. Okay. And they're both like in this excellent shape, and they hang upside down and all that. And of course, I'm like, that's how I ended up picking that place first, is because when I drink, cigarettes nauseate me. Like right now, if I lit one up, I'd be like, ugh. But if I'm drinking, I'm like a yo-yo. I can't do one without the other. And yet, you know, you can just step right outside and your friend, you know. So that's why we end up going there all the time. And the point is, so these guys are all up there, and I'm like, well, they can do it, I can do it. So I just drop my khakis, and I'm like, and it's funny because it's on video. Somebody got a video. It's hilarious because go-go girl is like, she's going, security.
And Nikki, your coworker, Nikki's face.
Nikki and Melanie are all there. No, they're all like going, they're like, hey, yeah. And then all I remember is the bouncer coming up laughing, going, dude, pull up your pants. And I was like, sure, man. Which led to me doing it on stage at the Laugh Factory.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I mean, were you there that night?
No, I was not. And
you know, like I
so.
Said, people up there like,
I think I had to
give
work
me
late.
Any sass or whatever. And this girl's like, drop your pants again. I'm like, you think I won't do it? She's like, yeah, I didn't check it. I'm like, please. And everybody's like, oh, my God. Oh,
yeah,
my
doctor, God. If you need a little stress relief, bring Jesse to a comedy show at Bob's.
I'll have to stick around.
He really is funny.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I don't have any gigs coming up, though, so I need to get out there and hustle it up.
Yeah, it's a lot of energy when you're up there.
Yeah. I did the Ha Ha a couple of times last month, so I need to get back out there. That's a great club. I love the Ha Ha Club on Lancashire.
That was the one in the Valley.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's on Lancashire in North Hollywood.
Yes. I've been there to see your show before. I get like some extra brownie points for going over the hill.
Well, you know, when I do over here, like at the Laugh Factory, I mean, like I said, I have a pretty decent following. And when I'm at the Laugh Factory, I usually get a lot of folks that come, but it's so bizarre that people don't want to go over the hill. And then my friends in Santa Monica don't want to go past the 405. You know, and people like yesterday Nikki and I went to meet our friend Vivian in Santa Monica, and I milk Santa Monica for the address. I live right where Brentwood and Santa Monica come together. I'm like, I don't know, 8 blocks out of Santa Monica West and 2 blocks out of Brentwood. And you can walk to where OJ killed Nicole from my apartment. That's my big selling point to my friends.
Okay.
Well, that's funny. Well, you can. Anyway, but Nikki, we were going to this place yesterday. Of course, I can't remember the name because I'm losing my mind. And it's like 2 blocks from the pier. And so Nikki came over to my house, and we're taking the convertible. We get in the car, and I'm like, oh, my God, I completely forgot that Santa Monica is so stinking pedestrian friendly now. All those walking people. That once you get within like 5 blocks of the beach, it takes you an hour to get to a parking structure.
Bob, I walk to work.
Why?
Because it's quicker than driving.
Well, you live like 2 blocks. If I live 2 blocks, I'd walk.
But then if I go to Santa Monica, I'm talking about I take all the these, bus. All the... It takes me right there.
Well, then just stay out of my way. <You know?
laughs> Well, don't crowd my bus, okay?
And listen, I ride the bus too. When I worked at Wolfgang's, I rode the bus quite a bit. The only part the reason why I stopped is that at night, the bus comes along every 20 minutes during the day, but at night, he comes along like once every hour, and half the time when I'm standing right there, he'd drive right by.
Yes.
And one time he stopped in Westwood and just pulled over and got out to go and use the lavatory at the Chevron on the corner of Beverly Glen and Westwood and Santa Monica, and everybody on the bus is looking at each other like,
where'd he go?
It didn't even make an
Jesus
announcement.
Take
and
the wheel.
We're all like, well, should we
drive?
You know, what's happening is something, you know.
You should start driving.
Yeah, city bus.
Yeah, we're loving it, Bob. Living large in L.A., it's you got to navigate your way.
Oh, and don't forget the train now. I'm like, hey, let's go.
Hey, let's talk about the train, Ms. Kellogg.
Well, I haven't taken the train since I retired. Well, not regularly. I used to take the train to the shelter every day.
From where? Where's your
from Limmer Park?
Oh well, that's great.
Yeah,
because it gets off. You know, where did you get off at?
I got on at Crenshaw and Exposition, and got off at Pico and
Right there.
Sepulveda.
Well, that was perfect for you.
Yeah,
because I took it a couple times just for fun, but the last time I took it, I thought I had forgotten. The first time I went to physical therapy, because when I go privately, I go to UCLA one day a week, and then I go privately to the Strong Sports Gym. Strong Sports Gym, great place, over by Dodger Stadium. Willard, you know Willard Ford.
No.
Anyway, this Buddy Miner's in there, and Rob Wilhut is the physical doctor there. Blah, blah, blah. I said, let's take the train. It'll be fun, right? You know, and it took like an hour to get down. Then I forgot that once you get there, you got to take the other train to cross and blah, blah, blah. So it was not fun.
We took the train to the Rose Bowl Parade this year.
And
It was a lot of fun.
Well, I did make these three young ladies who were all like with their long fingernails. They were like high school kids, and they were with their backpacks and... You know, I had a cane with me, and of course Dennis walks with a cane too. And there was another gentleman with a cane, and these three girls are like laying across the handicapped seats, and they're like, "Hey, you know what? That boy, he thinks I'm pretty. He wanted me to have sex with him." And I'm like, "Get up!" I did. I'm like, "Get up!" Because we stood there for like 2 minutes, and they're just looking at us. And then I was like, "Get up!" And they looked at me. I said, "Young lady, get up!" And I took, because my cane is a big brass A-ball on the end. And everybody's like, "You're going to get yourself shot." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know."
But, you know, comes out the other.
You know, my will's homemade out. The $67 in my savings account goes straight to my niece.
You know? I know you work in West LA. What's your commute like, trying to struggle and get through to work?
Well, right now I live in Santa Monica.
Oh, great.
Okay, so it's actually not bad. It's about 15 minutes to the shelter.
Oh, good for you.
Do you take Olympic or Pico? Pico straight out?
I take the 10 and then Pico.
The best kept secret.
I don't want you stressed out commuting.
The best kept secret out of Santa Monica, though, if you're stuck in there at rush hour, is to take. Now, don't tell everybody.
Bob, don't say it. I think I know what the secret is.
Nebraska.
Oh, really?
Because if you're coming up Pico or Olympic, or you know, get Santa Monica, cut all the crap, get to Bundy, and either direction, and get on Nebraska, and it's, you know, stop before it stops all the way through, and you know, be respectful of the. Because it's residential, and then you come to the light at Barrington. You take all the way to Sawtelle, and then turn left. And you'll run into some traffic. Sometimes it's hard to get up to Santa Monica to turn right, like where the New Art is and all that. But all that back up at Olympic or Pico or Wilshire that goes all the way back as far as Bundy, you'll bypass.
So, oh, well, thanks for giving the secret away, Bob.
Well, everybody's got their stupid Waze app and all that sort
of
thing.
Yeah, they're
you know?
Cutting down my street off of Wilshire.
Well, seriously, that Waze app, I mean, I feel so sorry for those poor people up in the hills. Because that, you know, that Waze app that, like, to go to, that takes you to the Hollywood sign, all right? It's ridiculous because it takes you up into Hollywood. Don't ask me how I know this. But it takes you into Hollywood land, you know.
The camp. I used to work there. When I was a teenager.
Yeah, but it takes you.
I was a camp
up.
Counselor.
It's so neat up there, though, that, you know, Hollywood Land was like one of the original suburbs, and that's how the Hollywood sign started, because it used to say Hollywood Land.
Oh, that's right. They're trying to sell real estate now.
That's what it was all about.
Now we're all looking for a tent.
All the homes look like these little castles and stuff like that. Los Angeles is a great town. Even though the homeless can't afford to live here anymore either. Jesus Christ. It's so ridiculously expensive to live here.
It is.
Pat, remember when you worked at the shelter, we had a lot of homeless, and many of them had pets, dogs, and things. But the shelter was always very involved in donating food and making sure they were licensed and cared for.
Yeah, we were accommodating then.
Yeah.
I don't know about now.
Can you still do so? There's one particular woman in our neighborhood who's got a gorgeous German Shepherd. And I always keep food in the trunk of both cars, and I see her all the time. and always pull over, and we, Dennis and I, would give her treats. And
well, that's what's good about West LA area. The community will take care of the homeless people and their dogs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, they rally around them.
See it all the time.
You know,
yeah, Bob, give them some flea medicine too.
We would, you know, a homeless person's dog would come into the shelter, and I don't like to call them homeless. I'll call them displaced.
Mm-hmm.
would come into the shelter, and you know, and they would give us the name of somebody in the community that helps them out all the time and their phone number, and I call them, and they come in and bail the dog out for the person, you know. So they really rally around the
That's wonderful.
Displaced people in the community and take care of their dogs and the people also.
There was a fellow out back in the parking lot back here who I volunteered. I said, hey, I've got some... You know, and he's like, no, thanks, I'm good. And I was like, okay, change your mind, let me know. I'm here every Monday. As long as they're content, you know.
Yeah, and then there's some homeless or displaced people that use their animals, you know, to get food or money. You know, they want to have an animal there because people have sympathy for the animal.
For the animal.
More than the person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
it's just like a pawn.
Yeah,
well, that's it's unfortunate
sad sometimes
because
yeah.
You know, we do some comics, we do the Slam Down, which is a benefit for we've had them on the Bob Dean Show before.
Yay.
To talk about the Slam Down and not getting away from the shelter or pets just for a minute, but as far as displaced folks go. The folks from the VA hospital have been on, and they discuss how a lot of, not a lot, but many, there's, it really is a lot of guys who work as teams. And they tag team certain corners, mm-hmm. You know, and they collect all day. And it's just unfortunate.
It's a business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm in the wrong business. Well, I know. Yeah, working in Beverly Hills is interesting. We have like the few regulars, and it's copacetic. You know, they make a lot of money every day because they brag about it. And there is a guy that has this rabbit.
Oh, the rabbit guy in the wheelchair.
And he's not disabled, by the way, because I saw him running out of pavilions.
Fine. He walks
stealing a bottle of liquor. But he's got this rabbit, and he pimps it out. And rabbits are so sensitive to heat. And doctor will agree, and Pat knows, they can just drop really quick. And it'll be so warm, and he's got like an outfit on it. And the rabbit's just sitting there,
miserable.
No food, no water. They need to constantly be eating and drinking. And he's just got this sign that says hungry, and he's overweight. And the poor, and it's like his fifth rabbit they keep knocking off. It's so sad, but luckily, City of Beverly Hills is very proactive with getting housing and assistance, and they got him into some housing, but he still pretends he's
homeless.
By the way, he came out here from Florida on his own volition because he had, I don't know. Anyway, we offered him a ticket back. We were going to do a little fundraising because he was sleeping behind a building down the street from where I live. From Neiman Marcus, and all the girls were like worried about him because he had this little dog, and thank gosh we got the dog from him, and we left it at the shelter to make sure there wasn't an owner looking for it, because we didn't know like really how he procured this dog, and we wanted to do the legal correct thing.
Yeah.
And we left it there, nobody claimed it, so my friend went and got it anyway, got spayed at your office, and thank gosh, because the dog had a litter of puppies in her.
Oh my!
And that would have been like a horrible situation. So he's had probably like five rabbits, and won't take the ticket back to Florida.
Well, I just walk right on by.
I do too. Oh.
So tell us what we can. We only have a few minutes left on the Bob Dean Show.
Yay!
What can we do to be more supportive of the PICO Shelter and all of the Los Angeles County animal shelters?
Well, Pat.
Oh, donations, monetary donations.
Monetary.
Gift cards.
Gift cards, always food
blankets,
and blankets.
Blankets and towels and
personal food. Time.
Personal time is the best.
Fostering.
Yes. Fostering, yes. And make sure to bring the food. If you're going to donate food, bring the food that the shelter's already feeding the animals, yeah. So the diet isn't switching and we don't have the medical staff.
So it's always a good idea to stop into your shelter and find out what they need before you buy.
Right, and the shelters have wish lists so that you know, you can go purchase the items off the wish list.
Excellent.
And I think if you could get one person to spay or neuter their animal, convince them to, and if they need assistance with finances or transportation, we won't need shelters anymore.
Seriously, I mean, you look at the charts on what is it? The multiple, like one cat. I've seen that chart before, and it's just blows your mind. Yeah, about how one cat or a dog.
Well, I always tell my students, I said, for every one human baby that's born, there's 22 puppies born and 44 kittens born. Mm. So every time a puppy or a kitten is born, it displaces the animal that's already here.
It's just heartbreaking.
We don't have enough homes in the city of Los Angeles to take care of all the animals here.
Every animal that I have, like I said, and there's only one foster that I've had that came from a high rise in West Hollywood where somebody passed away. Every other one has come from the street. So please, y'all, spay and neuter your animals.
Please. And you can get it done for free.
You can get it done for free. And
in
all
fact,
you
I might even
Google
give
it.
You $50 if you go do it. In addition, well, Bob will buy you a drink.
We're out of time. I hate it. This is episode 75. I want to thank Ms. Kellogg.
Thank you.
Joan, Dr. Vardy, Walter over there in the corner, Dennis on the other side of the door, Sammy Junio, as usual. Please, y'all, follow us on iHeartRadio. That means go and click it. And on iTunes, okay? BobTheSurlyComic.com. And YouTube. And what else? Next week, Kathy St. George will be back with us and her friend from New York. I can't remember her name. But I want to thank you all very, very much. It means a lot. Thank you very much. Support your shelters, ladies and gentlemen. Foster. And thank you.